The toy bar is open! Come wander on in, grab a stool, and hang out with a drink while your hosts and toy barflies, Jason Duvall and Dave Draper, discuss, argue, and celebrate their love of toys, games, and all things collectible. Brought to you by... we'll get back to you on that. This is Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to an all-new episode of Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles right here on ToyWorldOrder.com. And then I tuned in Stitcher under Toy World Order. We're your host. I'm Duvall. That's Dave Draper.
Yay.
Hey! We're back a little later than normal this week, gang. Jason's had some stuff going on with the sixth straight kitty cat we talked about last week, now by the name of Big Guy. So we recorded this on a Saturday instead of Friday night, which we usually do because Jason was tired, so... Jason had a busy weekend and is about $4,000 poor. So, yeah. Dave's like, oh, it's your fault, man.
Look, man, you're my best friend, so I'm just going to be quiet. I have this conversation with everybody else about you.
Oh, fair enough.
I need to have it with you.
Fair enough.
I've literally had people say, you got a blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I am not my brother's keeper.
Yeah, no shit.
He makes his own decisions.
Yeah. Jason does his own stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, gang, we're back. It's we got WandaVision to talk about. We've got a bunch of toy stuff. We've got some media stuff to talk about.
Do we?
We do, actually.
Media's a thing?
Yeah, I know. Hasbro's new E1 arm of the company announced two new animated Transformers series. They're teaming up with Nickelodeon and Netflix. For Nickelodeon, E1 will produce an original animated Transformers series in the form of 26 half-hour episodes. And the action comedy series, a new species of Transformers must find their place and purpose among Autobots, Decepticons, and the human family that adopts them. I'm guessing that'll be the BotBots cartoon.
Okay.
The series will premiere exclusively on Nickelodeon in the U.S. before rolling out internationally.
I mean, that doesn't sound particularly good. But
oh, okay. Actually, no, I'm sorry. The Netflix one is the Transformer BotBots. Never mind. I don't know what the Nickelodeon one's going to be then, because it sure as hell sounded like BotBots.
Stop Netflix, saying BotBots.
I know. Netflix Transformer BotBots, new 20-episode animated comedy following the mischievous little Transformers robots, otherwise known as BotBots. The series takes inspiration from Hasbro's Transformer BotBots toy line, released in late 2018.
I don't remember those at all.
I've got a couple.
Do you?
Yeah. I've got one that's a little mushroom, and he transforms into a robot. Yeah, they're really super weird. Very weird. Netflix also announced that the Terminator universe is expanding thanks to an all-new anime series that they're producing in partnership with Production IG, who did Ghost in the Shell, SAC 2045, Be the Beginning. They have a production line deal with Netflix since 2018. The showrunner executive producer is Mattson Tomlin, who did Project Power and The Batman.
Okay.
Yeah.
Terminator is one of those Terminator and Highlander are both movie franchises that should have been a movie.
Yeah, yeah.
You're going to be, well, Terminator 2. No. A movie.
So we'll see what happens with that.
Bet there'll be robots. And I bet there's time travel that doesn't make any sense.
Possibly. Deadline reported that DC Films and Warner Brothers are developing an upcoming Superman feature film that will be written by author Ta-Nehisi. Did I say that right?
I think it's Ta-Nehisi.
Ta-Nehisi Coates with J.J. Abrams producing. It's being labeled a reboot, so more than likely Henry Cavill will not be reprising The Man of Steel.
Oh, yeah, I've heard he's out.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, here's the thing. If you thought that Superman Returns by Bryan Singer was too sort of fanboyish and hidebound and I'm trying to think of the right words. Too faithful to the Donner films.
Right.
Too slavish in recreating the Donner films. Well, now you get J.J. Abrams.
Yeah.
Who's like super uncreative fanboy butt licker.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. I'm sure. I'm sure Man of Steel will still be the worst Superman movie ever made.
Yeah.
Because it'll be very hard to beat that. But I'm pretty sure it'll be bad.
Yeah. Ta-Nehisi Coates is a famous journalism for. Racial politics and issues.
Oh, okay. I was going to say he wrote Black Panther and Captain
America.
Well,
he did. Yeah, he did write Black Panther and Captain America. But for those who don't know what else he does, he's a very...
He spends it all day on Twitter.
Yeah, yeah. So it'd be an interesting take on Superman. Because they've done an African-American Superman in the
comics. I can't remember his name, but yeah.
Yeah. So It'll be a new take, which I think is something Superman needs right now, honestly.
Does he?
Well,
I feel like he, I feel like the problem was they did a new take and it was terrible.
Yeah, true. Well,
you know, I mean, ironically, we were just talking about the TV show, which is getting tons of love and praise because they went with a classic Superman.
Who's, yeah.
You know, a good, decent Superman's a character I don't think you mess with. I think Batman you can tinker with and mess with and change stuff. But I think Superman really, you got to get the core of that character right.
Yeah.
And I, you know, every time you try to update him and modernize him, he's not an updated modern character. He's an idealistic character. He's an angel on earth.
Yeah.
And the minute you mess with that and you make him human, you wreck the character.
Yeah. Very
and they're,
true.
They're going to make him human and they're going to wreck the character.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like Snyder did.
Boy, did Snyder ever. Jesus.
Yes. Again, I don't think it'll be worse than Man of Steel, but that's not saying much.
The only thing Joss Whedon did good in, Justice League was made Superman.
And now we're
Superman.
Yeah, and now we're going to get rid of that. And make him black suit, dour, angry, coward again. Yeah. And the fanboys are like, yay! But we get 2 nanoseconds of granny goodness on screen.
I know, right?
Sometimes I don't understand my own people, Jason.
I don't either. We had this conversation the other day.
I'm sure we did.
Also, Netflix announced a new, which Dave and I were talking about this before recording, that I'm actually excited about, is a new My Little Pony, which they're calling Generation 5, which is a new theatrical quality feature film that will premiere on Netflix later this fall.
Oh, it's a film?
And it'll be followed by an all-new CGI series. It's the first time the ponies have been rendered in CGI.
Is it?
In the new movie, the pony world of Equestria has lost its magic. Friendship and harmony have been replaced by paranoia and mistrust. And ponies,
oh no, the Federation has fallen.
And ponies now live separated by species. Sunny, a feisty and idealistic young earth pony, is convinced there's still hope for this divided world. But her slightly misguided and often hilarious efforts to change hearts and minds have led her to be being branded a misfit. When Sunny befriends a lost unicorn named Izzy, who wanders innocently into the earth pony town of Maritime Bay, the town has had enough. Izzy and Sunny must embark on an epic adventure that will include a daring jewel heist, outrageous conspiracy theories, elaborate musical numbers, and the world's cutest flying Pomeranian. Their adventures will take them to faraway lands and force them to challenge the status quo by facing their fears and making new friends out of old enemies. The world Sunny has dreamed of her entire life could finally become a reality as Sunny and her newfound friends fight to prove that even little ponies can make a big difference. Aww.
So basically they took the third season of Star Trek Discovery, mixed it up a little, Avatar The Last Airbender.
Yes. And then the CGI series that follows the movie will continue those adventures. So.
I would have assumed as much.
Also, Amazon announced there's a G.I. Joe live-action TV series being developed that's going to center on Lady J.
Okay. Is it still, what's her name? Is it Palacky?
I don't remember who was playing. Who played
Adrienne Palacky?
Yeah, Adrienne Palacky. Yeah, yeah.
She was also in The Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, that's right.
She was Mockingbird.
Eric Olson, who is behind Amazon's Carnival Row series, which actually is pretty good, will create and showrun the series and will executive produce alongside Lorenzo Di Bonaturvia.
Okay, I've heard of him.
Yep.
And I hear this is the same universe as the Snake Eyes movie.
Yes.
I've heard that.
Oh, yeah. I guess I thought I read down. The character was previously played by actress Adrienne Palacky.
Oh, previously, okay.
Previously, yeah.
Yeah, that seems okay.
Yeah. So we'll see what it is going to be connect to the larger G.I. Joe universe, though. Even though it's a standalone show.
I would assume so.
Well, you never know. Some of these shows, they just, like, we're going to do this character.
Well, first of all, like connected to the larger G.I. Joe unit. Well, okay, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I kind of see what you're saying.
Yeah. NECA teased, didn't tease, they released an image of the werewolf from the 1981 John Landis.
Perhaps that's how they teased.
An American Werewolf in London. No word yet on how they plan to go with this line or whether they give us any of the human characters or just stick with the monster. Honestly, I think people are excited if they just stick with the monster because we should have gotten a werewolf from this film. It's in one of Blake's books, I think.
Was it Mezco fun. Science?
No, it wasn't Mezco. It was
Mezco, there was McFarlane.
It was the weird company that was doing...
Didn't they do the Nazi werewolf?
Yes, they did the Nazi werewolf, but I can't think of what the hell the name...
I can't remember.
Damn it, I can't remember what the hell the name of the company was.
You know what, we'll live.
Yeah, but they were supposed to, and...
Okay, I didn't know that. I don't remember that part.
Yep, but it looks really nice from the little picture they teased.
Yeah, it's neck. Yeah, it looks good.
Yeah.
Now it'll get sent to Target, and probably will fall apart when you take it out of the box.
Probably. Our buddies over at Boss Fight Studios showed off the Phantom Hero Hacks Phantom and Hero figure and Steed set from Of course, the classic 21st century Phantom in gray costume and his trusty steed Hero ready to gallop into battle at a moment's notice. I think we've already got a set of these, but this is a different color.
I don't think we got one with the horse. I know we've got the Phantom figure.
Okay.
But he was a different color. They've had two versions of him in different colors. I don't think he came with the horse.
Gotcha. And what's beautiful about these licensed Hax figures is that they are compatible with the regular Hax figures. So you can,
I mean, I've got the Zorro.
Yeah. So you can take them apart and rearrange their limbs and...
I mean, you could.
All that good stuff, so... the horse looks amazing, though. Of course, we've already had horses.
Well, it's the horse.
Yeah.
I mean, it's actually pretty basically the horse. There's a couple issues. There's a couple little details on the saddle that I don't like, because they were trying to make the saddle be, like, all ages of human equestrian.
Right, right.
Like, these weird little medallions on the side. Yeah. I don't think, like, a Western horse would have.
No, I don't think so either.
Or a guy in the... Yeah. I think he's in Africa.
Mattel showed off first look at two new Amber Collection 6-inch figures. One of them we are getting a version 2 figure of, which is Ian Malcolm.
Yeah, I was going to say we got a Malcolm.
Which actually I don't like, because the head sculpt does not look great on that figure.
No,
it does not look great at all. But it is the Malcolm from the T-Rex scene outside where he's got the flare and the little radio.
Yeah, I don't think he had a radio.
No. And we're also getting,
hold on to your butts.
Yeah, the Ray Arnold figure of Samuel Jackson. And again,
does it have a removable arm?
These sculpts are not good.
Yeah.
They're not good at all.
You're not wrong.
Somebody can argue with me all they want, but that does not look like Samuel L. Jackson.
No.
No, it's terrible.
No.
And this is Mattel, and they've done some really good figures, but these do not look good.
I mean, some of the 4-inch figures have better sculpts than
those. Yeah, yeah. So those will be hidden sometime. Blech.
Yeah.
Hasbro.
Hold my breath.
Yeah. Hasbro announced they've got Fortnite figures in the works.
This is
people
weird.
Are very confused.
I am.
They had a virtual Investor Day panel, and they announced they had expanded their license agreement with Epic Knights for Fortnite that would now include action figures. And of course, Hasbro announced they were doing a 6-inch classified version of Snake Eyes based on his appearance in the Fortnite game.
That makes sense.
Yeah. It
do they give
be,
any hints in the article what scale?
We'll be making. It does not.
Snake Eyes doesn't count.
Right, it does not.
Because Jazzwares has the 4-inch scale pretty locked up, and McFarlane was doing the 6-inch.
Yeah.
Or like 7-inch.
And it's possible they're doing action figures just based on the licenses they already produce, because they're going to. Marvel and Star Wars have both been in the games, and G.I. Joe, of course, so. There's a chance that that's only the reason they're extending the agreement to do those figures.
Yeah.
So they can do more of those characters in that style.
Like, I remember there was a big announcement that Jazzwares was going to do G.I. Joe stuff because of Fortnite. And it turned out to be some weird, dumb pins. It wasn't figures.
Yeah, it wasn't figures. And, of course, McFarlane has been making 7-inch Fortnite figures.
I just
said
that.
I know. And Jazzwares, of course, like Dave said, has been
making
6 and 4-inch figures.
Are they?
Yeah.
Please tell me more.
Here's the answer to your question.
Yay.
The license is specific to 6-inch and above scale in action figures and vehicles.
So I wonder if McFarlane bowed out.
I mean,
that game was pretty old.
Yeah.
He was pretty old, and McFarlane's spending money on the DC stuff.
Yeah, I imagine the McFarlane ones are done since he's got all his money in DC right now, like Dave said. But we also could be getting... possible Power Ranger figures in the Fortnite game as well.
Yeah, I heard
so.
There were Power Rangers in the Fortnite.
So. Yeah, so it's very interesting that that's happening. So,
yeah, kind
of. NECA showed off more images of their new Defenders of the Earth figures. The first wave is out.
Didn't they announce that like a billion years ago?
They did, and the first wave is Flash, Ming, and the Phantom. The second wave, and they have not shown a third character, but the second wave so far is Mandrake the Magician and Lothar.
Okay.
So people are hoping it's Garax the robot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would make sense.
That would
be the only guy left.
Yeah, that would finish the line. So, I have not seen these. Apparently, they're Walmart exclusives. I have not seen them in Walmart. So, people are finding them, but I have not seen them. So,
are they in the normal section?
No, they're in the
collector. They're
in the stupid collector section.
I didn't see them.
WizKids announced new product offerings for Dungeons and Dragons and Magic: The Gathering, which also includes action figures.
Real action figures or those dumb little miniatures?
Real action figures. They're doing actual action figures for the two properties of Magic and Dungeons and Dragons. Well, there's they only... wouldn't give any details on the scale, articulation, or what the figures will be doing. They are going to do figures, not just HeroClix and stuff. And of course, WizKids is owned by Hasbro.
There you go.
Yep. Or I'm sorry, WizKids is part of NECA Toys, and Wizards of the Coast is owned by Hasbro.
I'm gonna throw something at you.
I'm sorry, I'm getting my things confused. So we will be getting probably NECA style figures.
I don't want NECA style figures. I want proper 4-inch.
WizKids expanded categories for Dave here for D&D include D&D sprue miniatures, premium unpainted high impact polystyrene unassembled unprimed miniatures on sprues.
See, how do you not like role playing games? There's all this garbage for you to paint.
I know. D&D paint line. D&D and Magic the Gathering artifacts and prop replicas, D&D accessories, battle mats, maps, bags, and carrying cases, and action figures. So,
I want action figures, but I don't want 7-inch action figures.
I know Dave does not want that. Dave, that's not Dave's scale. Mattel, during their virtual analyst day meeting, showed the first looks at the new figures for the Masterverse line of 7-inch figures from Mattel for He-Man. Which gave us Skeletor, He-Man, Battle Cat, and Evil Lyn.
Okay.
Let's see.
I thought they looked fine.
I didn't see any problem. People are a little concerned that the head on the body of He-Man is a little small. I don't know. The Masterverse
It looks a little 2000X-y.
Yeah. The Masterverse figures are the ones based on the Kevin Smith continuation of the Filmation cartoon.
Okay.
That they're doing, and then there's another cartoon they're doing that is more of a kiddie cartoon that they're going to do figures for those as well.
Based on what I know about Master Collector fans, I'm sure they'll be thrilled with the kiddie stuff.
Oh yeah.
I like that Evil Lyn. I'll probably pick that up.
I do too. I like the Evil Lyn a lot. I like Skeletor. Skeletor looks nice.
Skeletor looks fine.
Battle Cat looks nice.
Battle Cat looks cool.
Yeah, I like
it. Looks big.
The elongated mask kind of.
It looks like big and muscular.
Yeah, so it's a nice little tease. Sad, we probably would have got to see these at Toy Fair had Toy Fair have happened. So
well, okay, I'm sorry.
I know. Mezco announced a bunch of stuff for their licenses. They're doing. Let's see.
I'm assuming that's Silent Hill.
They are doing. They're doing a Living Dead Dolls Silent Hill Bubblehead Nurse.
Okay.
So the really creepy nurses from Silent Hill. If you haven't played that. They're doing a 1/12 collective The Crow based on Brandon Lee's version of The Crow from the film, which is still an amazing movie and holds up to this day, I think.
Okay.
I love that movie. Okay. And they're also doing 1/12 scale G.I. Joes.
Yeah, that was a shock.
Yeah. They're doing the first one out of the gate is Destro.
Eh.
Which he looks really good.
He looks good.
Yeah.
Like the alternate head's weird. It's got that big grin.
And then they also announced that they're doing a Fantastic Four set.
Oh, neat.
Yep. As well as it looks like they'll be doing...
I don't know if they'll do the Mole Man and the Mole Monster.
Yeah, I don't know if that... But that's in the picture we're looking at, the Mole Man monster is who they're facing off against.
Yeah, because it's the cover of the first issue.
Yeah, so they are doing the Fantastic Four, and they look really nice.
Yeah.
Thing looks amazing.
Honestly. Thing does look good.
Thing looks really good. Plus, they're doing 1/12 collective Conquest of the Planet of the Apes.
Okay. Do they do any other Planet of the Apes?
No.
The 1/12 is one of those lines that just got out of control, so I stopped paying attention.
Yeah, yeah. They're also doing a 5 points of articulation Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure figures.
Okay.
Of Bill, Ted, and
Rufus.
And Rufus. So retro styled figures, 3¾-inch scale figures.
Ooh, wait, what?
Yeah. That's the scale. They're 3¾-inch.
Oh, but they're like pose. You can see it's a cut joint for the arm.
Yeah, very true. But they're doing the classic. I know. Dave's not.
That doesn't make it better.
They're doing a line called 1/12 Collective Rumble Society.
Uh-huh.
So we don't know what exactly. They're just kind of teased, but
looks like some kind of monster.
Yep, yeah, it's original in-house design series. So.
Nobody wants originality. We want what we had when we were kids.
Yeah.
That's all we want. We want it over and over and over again. No changes or deviations. Just make us the same toy for 40 years.
Yeah, that's all we want.
That's all we want. Why is that so hard?
No. Hasbro shut off new Star Wars Vintage Collection figures.
See?
Mm-hmm.
Hasbro knows what's up.
Including an IG-11 and a Lando Calrissian.
It's about... About time.
Yep. Of course, IG-11 from The Mandalorian, from the first season of Mandalorian.
Yep.
And then our classic Lando Calrissian.
From Empire Strikes Back.
Yep, from Empire Strikes Back. Dave will buy both of them.
I'll definitely buy IG-11.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got, like, I know, but they've done Lando a couple times.
Yeah, but that Lando's really nice.
They might have done nicer.
Yeah, really?
I like that first one has, like, a cloth cape.
No, oh, yeah.
When vintage was, like, an actual, like, premium line.
When it was a premium line, yeah. Super 7 showed off pictures of their TMNT Reaction Figures Wave 3, which include a foot soldier with a robot face, Samurai Leo, Surf and Mikey, and Casey Jones.
Okay.
So, I don't know, they're kind of cool looking.
Yeah. The cards are nice.
Oh, yeah, the cards are very nice. The artwork on those cards are amazing. But the samurai card's the one I like the most, I think.
Oh, that is nice.
Yeah. Just the art style of Leo in the sewer, and then Sewer cool. Surfer Mike, and then the busted foot soldier. The busted foot soldier's kind of neat looking, too. Yeah.
Can I go off on a tangent for a minute?
Sure, go ahead.
You know, if I were, like, a PhD candidate for something.
Right.
You know what I would like to... I would honestly like to do? I was thinking about this the other day in terms of the Transformer vintage packaging. I'd love to get, like, some kids in for, like, a study group. I'd like to see whether or not, like, we're just being nostalgic, or whether or not vintage packaging actually is better.
Is better.
Because I honestly think it's so much better than modern packaging.
Oh, no, I agree with you.
Yeah, I know, but are we blinded by nostalgia? Or is it just
or
that they...
Or is it really...
Is it really that modern stuff is just kind of like generic and crap?
Well, it could be a combination of both, honestly.
Because, I mean, that's real. Like, those TMNT cards, that's really nice art.
Yeah.
On those cards. Like, and they just look... I really think Transformers look better. G.I. Joe cards look better. Star Wars toys look better.
Yes.
You know.
I agree with you. I think some of it for us is nostalgia. Some of it is truth. I do think that the artwork... I think some of the vintage cards are much nicer than the modern day cards because, let's face it, the modern day cards for a lot of stuff is, I mean, look at the Transformers Grimlock that I'm playing with right now. That's yes. Kind of, you know, it's...
Yeah, it's kind of like blah. It's, you know, I mean, mostly you're showing off the toy, which I understand.
Yeah.
There's a little art to the side, but I mean, the vintage boxes show off the toy too.
Yeah. But it's just kind of, I'm with you, I'm kind of like, eh.
You know, and you look on the back and there's like all the Transformers fighting with each other. It's really cool.
Yeah.
And it's got that weird 80s grid design on it that's so 80s. I don't know. I'm curious whether or not it's nostalgia or whether or not it really was better. So.
Yeah. I mean, I'm with you on that. And I don't think it's a tangent. I think it's more...
Well, it's a tangent because you were going to jump to some other thing.
Well, no. I mean, it's all good, but...
I'm also done.
Yeah, I can't figure out Grimlock right now.
Yeah, he's the most complicated of all possible transformations.
NECA also talked about their Series 2 of their Loot Crate exclusive Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles line.
They still do shit like
yep,
that?
Yep, and this one actually people have got really excited about because...
it's the stupid-ass kid from the movie.
Yep, you can get Danny Pennington. You can also get... there is a...
Can you get a trash compactor to throw him in?
Crate 1 is Danny Pennington. Crate 2 is an arcade-themed one that comes with a NECA-exclusive Armagon figure, which, if you don't know, Dave probably doesn't know who Armagon
is. Was he the henchman guy?
He is the shark.
Well, okay, he wasn't in the movie.
No, but he was in the video game.
Yeah,
he was in TMNT 5. He was in the cartoon.
I know, I have him. I have the cartoon toy. Okay, I'm going to see what this...
Let me see if I can find a better picture of
the actual... Well, I want to see what the actual Loot Crate toy looks like.
Yeah, they haven't shown him yet.
Ah, poop.
Yeah, but he was in the fighting game Tournament Fighters. Yeah, there's the cover for Tournament Fighters with Agumon on it, Armagon on the front of it. So, yeah, I was like, oh, it's a shark. Dave might buy that one.
I like that figure from the Nickelodeon line.
Crate 3 will be themed after the comic books, include a menacing mutant Shredder exclusive figure. Which I think is what they currently have been doing in some of the newer comic books. And then Crate 4 will be themed after the cartoons with an exclusive Donatello the Dark Turtle. Order all four and you get a Scrag bonus figure. And Scrag... let's see. Scrag was one of the Shredder henchmen in the cartoon series, in the original cartoon series. And he didn't get a whole lot of screen time. He was with the Bebop and Rocksteady before they got mutated. He later got mutated as well for a short time and became a mutated bat.
Okay.
So people are kind of wondering, are we going to get a mutated bat, or are we going to get, you know, are we going to get a human version of Scrag, or is it going to be both where you can just interchange the limbs and stuff? So people were kind of like, oh my God, that's kind of crazy. But the Danny Pennington one is people were super excited about.
Why?
For the movie series. Well,
yeah, I guess I guess maybe Star Trek fans would be excited for a Wesley Crusher figure.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't understand why, but, yeah, you know.
But, you know.
It's like people were excited for the Jar Jar Black Series figure.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that kid was a douche.
PCS, I think it's Pop Culture Shock, I think is the name of the company.
Sure.
They've been doing a Teenage Mutant Turtles statue line, and they showed off the 1/4 scale Shredder statue, which actually looks really good. Like, surprisingly really good.
Okay, it looks fine.
Yeah. I'm a fan of some of these statues. I can't afford them, but if you give me the files, I could print it and paint it to match pretty much close to that.
I don't have the files.
I know, I'm very sad. And the Mattel showed off their version of the child from Mandalorian, of Grogu.
Didn't they announced him before Hasbro announced any?
They did. Last year, they debuted a plush and vinyl toy of the child. This 11-inch Grogu won plush toy of the year. This is the one that comes in his own floating pram. The pram actually floats.
Hmm.
So, and there's a collector's edition in a motorized hover pram that has realistic looking hair and plush hands and feet, as well as a limited.
He's not on the show anymore, guys.
No.
We've moved on.
Yeah, the actual hover pram that they showed at Toy Fair last year is going to be auctioned off to a lucky customer on eBay. So I'm sure that'll go for thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars.
Maybe a couple thousands.
Probably. Our buddy Blake, Toys That Time Forgot, Volume 3, has hit its goal, so we're getting Volume 3.
Yay!
It's got 12 days to go, but it's at $36,000, so we know we're going to be getting that book. Whether or not we get any of the stretch goals or... that's still yet to be seen, but I'm just happy enough that we're getting the book.
I am too. Happy for him, and I'm happy for me.
Yep. So we get an extra chapter at 40,000. So,
okay.
And so that's super exciting to see. So, very pumped for that. Dave just.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we're actually going
to
talk about this.
Yeah, I want to talk about it. I was looking through Kickstarter trying to get to Blake's Kickstarter after I signed in.
And his something Kickstarter? Popped,
his, what did I say? Kickstarter?
You said Kickstarter.
Oh, my God. I'm terrible. Welcome to Kickstarter. Hey, boy.
Here's your complimentary mess.
We finna go out there and get some Kickstarters. That's what we're doing here.
Sorry. Give us money so we can tip cows.
A company by the name of Burning Wheel has been publishing role-playing games since 2002. They're releasing a magazine called The Perfect RPG. A quest for perfection, and features a bunch of RPG games by a bunch of different RPG creators. So,
yeah,
I'm just curious about. There's one called Fantasy, the Heartbreaking, and I'm like, kind of curious to see what that is. Or Verily, you are in a dungeon. Come on,
you're not interested in goats.
I kind of am interested in goats.
Super Gun have. Yeah. That's got to be like a anime type thing.
God bless it. I'm pretty sure Dave backed it.
I did not.
Not yet. It's only $15.
I thought it was like he's like I made the perfect RPG. Here's a magazine. It's like, but I want the perfect RPG. I'm confused. Yeah. And then that was like he's not doing this justice because this guy's writing style. I don't know if it's an act or if he really is that high on his own farts.
He says, I am a game designer named Luke Crane. I love to make role-playing games. Last year, I invented the perfect role-playing game. After reflecting on its perfect majesty, I realized that this game was so perfect, other designers could use it to create their own perfect role-playing game. The revelation inspired me to laugh out loud like so. Ha! That's literally what it says in the intro.
This guy has a healthy ego.
I like
him. But he doesn't explain what the thing is.
No, but I want to hug him. I'm like, why? Mm-hmm. Why
goal so high?
Well,
why English second
why
language?
Why goal so high? Yeah. Yeah. So.
I mean, if it was the actual game, I would have backed it in a minute.
Yeah, Dave would have backed it in a heartbeat.
Because I'm like, I gotta see what the perfect role-playing game is.
I know. For fans of Batman, they're releasing a Batman The Dark Knight Returns board game.
Oh, Lord.
I don't know if it's Cryptozoic.
These guys that did the Batman game and the Batman animated series game?
Yeah, believe so. This is
Unfortunately, there's fewer characters.
It is a solo game.
Ooh.
Yep, it's a solo board game experience.
I dislike people.
I know. Dons the cowl and journeys through Frank Miller's iconic Batman adventure. Instead of traditional leveling up, this is a game of attrition. Batman comes out of retirement and tries to survive one final gauntlet, facing old and new villains, and even his most powerful ally, Superman.
He wasn't really an ally in the book.
No, he was not. 90 minutes per book. So there's going to be multiple...
90 minutes?
Playable standalone missions or one epic playthrough results of each mission carry over to the next. The game showcases the art of Frank Miller. And with variable setup and combinations of fight and detective cards, each playthrough will throw unique resources and challenges at you. So it is a solo Batman game, unlike their last Batman game, where it is all ridiculous. The base game includes, of course, the board, a board marker, so you have to mark on the board since it's solo. It looks like it's erasable, too, so it can be erased off the board. 11 battering die, some custom dice. Looks like you get dice for Robin, for Green Arrow, for a smoke bomb, for Two-Face, Mutant Leader, Joker, and Superman gets his own dice. There's 170 cardboard tokens. The Doomsday Tracker is President Reagan.
Yep.
I love it.
Because there's a war breaking out in Corto Maltese.
Yep. There's 19 standees. There's 12 card types. The Deluxe Edition, you actually can pledge for the Deluxe, and it has miniatures instead of standees. And it also has a hinged lid with a magnetic clasp that can be presented alongside the base game box in a sleek and convenient slipcase that will look incredible on your bookshelf next to your premium board games and special edition comics. So yeah, you'll get miniatures of Batman, of Kerry Kelly's Robin, of Commissioner Gordon, of Oliver Queen as the Green Arrow, as Harvey Dent's Two-Face, and the Mutant Leader, the Joker, and Superman. And then there's more miniatures. There's Abner.
He's the guy that built the weird little robots for the Joker.
Yep. There's Mary and Bobby. There are special vehicles. Visit Wayne Manor to use vehicles to take powerful once per book actions and permanently prevent riots at important locations on the maps. You get the helicopter, the glider, his horse, the bat tank, the motorcycle, and I guess which is basically the bat wing in the comic. So, yeah. There's a bunch of stretch goals. There's new dice. There's some Kickstarter exclusives, which are all still locked. So, but yeah. And of course, Dave heard Solo, and Dave's like, "Oh,
I heard Batman: Dark Knight Returns."
Yeah, Dave. Well, at first Dave was like, "Nah," and then he heard Solo, and Dave's like, "Oh." It's got 19 days to go, and it's not quite hit the $250,000 goal, which is kind of surprising. But
yeah.
I'm kind of curious to see why it hasn't yet.
Because it's the third goddamn Batman game they've done in like the last couple of years. And it probably because it is solo, probably.
Yeah, and because people are kind of upset because the deluxe edition with the miniatures is a $100 game.
Okay, I don't know what hobby these guys are.
I don't either. It's a good question.
That actually sounds pretty reasonable from the crap I've backed.
Yeah.
And still haven't received.
I know, right? Dave still has stuff from like, what, 5 years ago?
The worst one's a movie, and I basically backed it because a friend was involved.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah. Other than that, there's a couple of action figures that are, like, way overdue.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
And then, like, Frosthaven, like, is just, it's taken forever.
Yeah, which is kind of...
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know, not surprising, but...
And the one thing that I'm really sick of is these screwy tier levels, and it's like... You get these updates. We're shipping blah, blah, you know, -π -3. I'm like, I just wasn't an all-in. I want to know when I get my stuff.
Yeah, when does my stuff show up?
Like, apparently Beast of Mesozoic has been shipping forever, and I'm like, excuse me?
Yeah.
But I guess because I, like, added stuff from the later, quote, waves? I don't know.
Which sounds kind of dumb, like...
Well, I mean, it's supposed to save on shipping. I assume. I don't know, man. I just want my stuff.
I know.
There's a lot of guys and I ain't ever going to back another one. Let me put it that way.
No. Understandably so.
Don't even get me started on the comic stuff.
You know better than that.
I know better now. Like, that stuff never ships, and it's really never that good.
Yeah, no. No.
Like, really, these guys weren't professionals for a reason.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a reason why they sorry. Didn't. Yeah. Sorry, not sorry.
Look, man, I understand having a dream and having it crushed, but, like, I gave you your chances.
Yeah. Yeah, you had your chances, people. And you failed miserably.
Well, not miserably, but, like, you failed to the point that I'm not investing another, you know, $20-$30.
Yeah, no. God, no. I don't know. I'm not surprised with some of them, honestly. Like, you know, I've backed my share of winners. You know, the turtle book that I backed that never shipped comes to mind.
Yeah, but you got your refund on that, didn't you?
No.
No? Did you ask for a refund?
Oh, I did. And they said, nope.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's all right.
They said, no, like, you're going to get your book one day.
Oh, they said, no, you're just shit out of luck, buddy.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Wow.
It is what it is.
Yeah, it's called a scam.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, like, I'm looking at that Batman game, and now I'm like, I don't know if I want to back this now.
I don't know if I want to do this. It's not good.
Now I'm scared.
I'm scared.
All right, this is bad. We're both distracted by crap, and the podcast is...
What? No, it's fine.
Okay.
It's fine. We're doing good.
Okay.
We're doing good.
I know that one of our fans is dying in his sick bed, and he said the one thing that gives him hope to go on. I'm not even joking, really. Like, he basically said, the only thing I'm looking forward to is your podcast. And I was like, yeah, we're not doing it today.
Sorry. You're shit out of luck.
I'm going to have to wait at least a day. Try to live.
Try to live. You can do it. You can do it. Survive.
Stay alive, whatever may occur. I will find you.
I will find you. do you think he's going to hate us now?
No. He'll be tickled that we acknowledge his existence. They're always happy that we acknowledge. The little people are always happy when they're...
Little people.
When they're icons, when they're idols.
When they're idols.
Acknowledge that they exist, yeah, and that they matter. Yeah, they're precious to us, each and every one of you.
Dave and I are terrible human beings, ladies and gentlemen. Not that we ever pretended to be otherwise.
To be fair, we never really pretended to be, like, not monsters.
I know. Whoops. Oh
no.
Wheelie fell off.
Yeah, but he did, like, a sweet superhero landing.
He did the superhero landing. He did. He did it. He did the landing. We're going to talk about WandaVision. So if you have not caught up with episode 8.
Yes. Eight of nine.
8 of 9. You might want to shut the show off now, damn it, because we're going to spoil some shit.
Who was the Peggy of the Borg thing that 7 of 9 came from?
Oh.
Okay, that all fell apart. Yeah. It was clever in my head. It was going to be the runner-up Borg from 7 of 9, but it all went bad.
Got mushed.
It went bad.
Sorry, David.
You try.
You do. I give you credit. You did try. WandaVision this week was not quite the... we thought maybe it was going to be a flashback episode, and it was kind of...
It was literally a flashback episode with a title that harkened back to the classic clip shows of...
It was an interesting flashback because I thought it was going to be a flashback all about Agatha Harkness. But instead, that's what I thought we were going to get. Was going to get...
I mean, I don't know what we were going to get. I thought, actually, a lot of what we got was what I was expecting, the backstory of the Hex. And
I
think what you're saying is you expected her to be more involved in all that.
Yes, because I thought we were going to... We did kind of learn Agatha's little bit of her history.
Yeah, we got her history. She was part of a coven of witches. And I don't know. It was just a whole American horror story nonsense. And they tried to execute her because she was dabbling in stuff she shouldn't have been dabbling in.
Yes, she was, yeah.
And then she...
including her mother.
Well, yeah, including her mother. And then she sucked their power. Did you think that her mother looked kind of like Pietro? Like the Pietro from the show?
Maybe a little bit.
Yeah.
But
I don't know. Maybe it's just me. But I thought she kind of looked...
I also watched it on my phone, and I haven't got to watch it again, so...
Okay.
Yeah.
And to be fair, I thought her little lair looked like the Church of Sokovia.
So. Yeah. But no, so we get to see her basically suck their powers and their life.
Yeah. Which she's not doing on purpose.
No, I don't think so.
I mean, the impression I got was it was sort of like she had delved too deep, and that she was doing it, and she didn't even realize she was doing it.
Yes.
And then once it happened, she was kind of like, okay, well, you know.
And then, of course, we get bolted back into present day where... Agatha basically tells Wanda, because Wanda tries to use her powers. She's like, no. She's like, you can't use your powers down here. She's like, you see all these runes across the, you know, across the ceiling? She's like, only the person who wrote those runes may use their magic in this location.
Something like that. Yeah.
So Agatha had had the upper hand, but it's not for the reasons you would think it was. I mean, she took the kids, but she wants to know. She wants to know, how did you do this? And Wanda's I don't know. And she's like, but you do. And we're going to have to go back to find out. And so we basically get them jumping back through Wanda's life, starting with when her and Pietro were kids and her parents were killed.
Yeah.
And she has to relive this moment. But what's interesting is we get to see this moment. We get to see why the sitcoms.
We do. Well, yeah. And throughout the whole show, we get to see why sitcoms.
Yeah.
Which I liked. It was kind of what it was a variation of what I thought in the first place.
Yes.
Which is that she'd always been watching sitcoms, and that was kind of her. But it was interesting because the sitcoms themselves represented comfort.
Yes.
And, you know, like she, you know, she watches them with her family.
The bomb goes off. They learn English from watching American sitcoms.
American sitcoms. The bomb goes off, or a bomb goes off, and they're trapped. But the TV's still working.
So she
can still watch the show. Someone had made a joke, a reviewer had made a joke, what, is she watching sitcoms in the Hydra prison? Well, apparently she was.
Yeah, apparently she was.
And then after Pietro dies, and she's, you know, sitting in the...
Well, we're skipping something important.
I'm bringing up a bigger theme,
yeah,
which is that the sitcoms represent comfort for her in her grief.
Yes.
And I really related to that and liked that because, you know, like in a similar situation... You know, Springfield will turn into Tatooine or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like for me, it's Star Wars.
Yeah.
Like I always go back to Star Wars when I really need that.
Right.
So like if I were able to change the world, it would be Star Wars.
Yeah.
So I got what was going on there and I really liked that.
What's interesting is while Agatha and Wanda, who is now playing the role of her younger self in as a child, because...
Well, she never plays...
Well, but Agatha's like, this is where you come in, and she, you know...
Yeah, she shoves her in and she's a kid.
Yeah. And we get to see... what actually happened with the Stark bomb. It's not that they waited for 2 days and it never went off. It's the fact that Wanda has had powers all along.
It's implied that she used her probability powers to make sure that the bomb didn't go off.
Yes, so she basically saved her and Pietro. Because even Agatha goes, that was just a common hex that you used. You're the reason why the bomb went off. And at first Wanda's like, no, that's not true. That's not true. And then we jump forward in time
to Hydra.
To Hydra. And we see her in a room with the Mind Stone, you know, on...
And Loki's staff.
And Loki's staff, and the...
Well, there's some dialogue before she goes in the room about how none of the other people survived, blah,
blah, blah.
Which
she can hear.
Well, that was a mistake on their part, clearly.
So she goes up and you know, she walks up to the stone. And what's interesting is stone...
The staff breaks free of its little holder and, like, flies out.
Yeah. And like, floats before, and she goes to touch it. And when she touches it, it turns orange, like... The whole screen goes orange, and she sees this figure in the light. And you realize I didn't realize it until later because again I'm watching it on my phone. But
it was more amber. It matched the color of the gem.
Yeah, you actually see that it's her in the Scarlet Witch costume.
Yes,
in a
nice Scarlet Witch, in a high class.
Yes,
not high class, but
she's basically seeing what's going to happen to her in the future.
She's
almost
seeing a vision of the Scarlet Witch.
Yes,
the Scarlet Witch.
Yes.
Which apparently is a thing in this universe.
Yes.
Now, before anyone yells at me, before we get angry email from Robbie Rosari, I'm not a super expert on the Avengers or the Scarlet Witch's history, so I don't know if being the Scarlet Witch is a thing.
Yeah.
Or if, like, they just did that for the MCU.
Yeah. So we get a look at that. We get to see, basically, she's in the room watching sitcoms. Like you said, she's watching sitcoms in the room as well.
Yeah.
And then we flash forward to
after Age of Ultron. Yes. She's in Avengers Man. She's in a room in the Avengers Manor.
Yep. Because Agatha's like, "Where are we now?" And she's like, "This is the Avengers, you know, Avengers headquarters, basically."
Yeah.
And Pietro's just died. You know, she's there alone, and she's watching
Malcolm in the Middle.
Watching Malcolm in the Middle, and she goes, "You can come in," and you realize Vision's been standing outside the door.
She calls him by name.
Yeah. She says, Vision, you can come in. And he, you know, they have this little bit of Dinah dialogue, and he's still unsure of himself. And he sits down with her, because she invites him, so he sits down with her. And he's like, she laughs, and he's like, well, why is that funny? She's like, well, it just is. She's like, but what if he would have gotten injured by...
Oh, yeah. No, like in the thing, Hal, like Hal's building something in the backyard and it collapses on him.
Yeah.
And she laughs and Vision's like, so it's funny because he was grievously injured. You know, it's a classic Spock data kind of thing.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, he's not really injured. And it's just funny, you know, she's trying to explain it. And then she starts talking about her grief.
Yeah.
And how it's consuming her.
And Vision has this amazing line that I love to death. And he just says, well, what is grief if not love persevering?
Something like that.
And it's
that,
just
like, oh, dude,
I was like, oh, God, tears. Oh, God. And you see their love start.
Yes. You definitely. Well, yeah.
And then we flash forward to right before Westview. And she's standing in SWORD headquarters, like at the front desk, saying, I know you have his body. I want it. And they're like, we don't know what you're talking about. And the phone rings, and he's like, okay, yes, yeah. She's still here. Yes.
Stupid, obviously evil director guy.
Yep. And they basically tell her where to go. And she goes to go in, and he's like, well, hold on, ma'am. I got to buzz you. And she's like, no, I'll let myself in. And she opens the doors.
Yeah, the whole thing is, if you remember, there's a whole – they see videotape of this stuff.
Yes.
But you realize how out of context it all was.
Yes.
Like, the way they show it is, boy, like she's forcing the doors open and charging in.
Yeah.
Where it's like, no, I'm just not going to wait to be buzzed in.
Yeah, she was invited in.
Yes. And in fact, she gets sent to the guy's office, which for some reason also overlooks
the lab.
The operating theater lab thing.
And they've got Vision torn apart, which we saw in the video.
Yeah.
And she sees it and she's like, I am his next of kin. I would like, he at least should be buried. And he's like, but you're not, because doesn't belong to
you. Well, and also he's like, you know, that's $6 billion worth of vibranium.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is one of my first... Sorry, I'm a nerd. I pay attention to these movies, and I think about things.
Right.
It's $6 billion of stolen vibranium.
Yeah.
Claw stole it, like, before the first Black Panther movie. Yep. And it was stolen from Wakanda. Vision died in Wakanda.
Wakanda technically owns him.
Well, yeah. It's but how in the hell? And Wakanda is, at this point, still is hidden.
Yes.
It's still protected by like force fields and how in the hell? And this has bothered me all along. Did SWORD get a hold of Vision's body?
Yeah.
Well, the Avengers brought his body. Well, why would, I mean, would they really do that? Would Wakanda let them? I don't. It bothers. It's a major plot hole. I'm sorry. It is, like.
Well, I agree.
You're just supposed to like go, oh, okay. Well, they got the, you know, because it's been like 3 or 4 years since Infinity War.
Yes.
You're not supposed to think about it, but like, it makes no, considering how utterly butthurt. I mean, there is like literally a civil war in Wakanda that was started by the theft of this vibranium.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the whole thing. Is Killmonger uses the one guy's grief over his dad being killed during the theft as a wedge against T'Challa.
Yeah,
like it's a big deal.
Yeah,
and you really can't paper it over unless you're, you know, just kind of like casually like, ooh, do do do.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like it's a big deal, and that bothers me. And so I know they're never going to answer that.
No. So she breaks the window.
Well, here's the thing. Do you get? Sorry, I got hung up on that.
No, no.
The impression that I got was that the director guy was deliberately egging her on to try to bring Vision back to life.
Yes, he was. He very much was.
Because if you remember, this is something we talked about last week, when Jimmy's looking at the information that Darcy sends him,
yeah,
there's this whole thing called Operation
Catalyst. Yeah.
And I remember thinking, that's got to mean something.
Yeah.
And I couldn't figure out what it was. I thought it was going to be some kind of insect theme thing. Because the flowers and the bugs.
Right.
Catalyst. Like a catalyst to bring Vision back.
Yep. So... He eggs her on. She breaks the window. She flies down there. Guards come in to point the guns at her, and the director tells him, no, just stand down.
Yeah, that's the other reason I think he was trying to manipulate her.
And he watches her, and she kind of goes, because when they first met, when they first, like, have this, she says a line to him. I don't remember what movie it is, but she says, I feel you.
Okay.
And I don't remember what film it was. I don't remember if it's Civil War.
I think it's Civil War.
Where she says, I feel you. And she kind of uses her magic on his head. And she starts to cry, and she's like, I can't feel you. And she realizes that Vision is not coming back like this.
Well, yeah, like this.
And she leaves. Was it weird to you? And it was weird to me to watch her drive a car and go, Wanda's just driving a car.
Yeah, it was a little weird to like, watch a superhero just drive a normal kind of car around.
So she leaves. She just leaves. And you realize, holy shit. Well, we knew the director was bad news anyway. But you realize again, he used her footage to make her enemy number one when she wasn't.
Yeah, no.
That's not it. What he said happened was not what happened at all. So she peacefully leaves.
Yeah.
She doesn't take his body. She leaves it there.
And she goes to crappy, horrible...
She goes to Westview. And she's got an envelope with her.
Okay, keep going.
And she drives to Westview, and you realize they show what the envelope is, and it's a plot. Deed. It's a deed to the plot of land, and a vision is wrote for us to grow old.
And so here's a bit... Sorry to be that guy. Yeah. Sorry to be that guy that pays attention.
Yeah.
In Infinity War...
Yes.
When they're in Scotland together...
Yes.
It is clear that the relationship is still in a relatively early stage. In fact, this is the dialogue that they have, that Vision says, you know, we were going to try to find out if this works, and he's all hesitant, and she's like, yes, it works.
Right, right, right.
That is not the phase of the relationship where you buy a house.
No, not at all.
And then they get attacked by the Children of Ultron, or Children of Ultron, Children of Thanos.
Children of Thanos, yeah.
And like the whole movie moves from there.
Yeah.
Like, he is not in the house buying... Now, again, that was like 4 years ago, and they blah, blah, blah. That one really, really bugged me.
Yeah.
Because he would not have bought her a house at that
point. I was a little confused, too, by that. I was like, all right, well.
Also, why buy a house in shitty Westview? The pools are all dirty and yucky, and everything's closed. And like, aside from being like trapped in Wanda's grief mentally.
Right.
Being like her grief slaves. Like, other than that, like in terms of, like, just the layout of the town, they traded up.
Well, what's interesting is she's driving through town. You see all the people that have been
apart. You see a lot of the people.
Yeah.
Maybe all of them. I might have catched everybody. I saw Herb. I saw the woman who's, like, the queen bee. I saw her husband.
Yep.
I think I saw the co-worker. And then I saw the wife of the doctor.
Yes. Yeah. So you kind of get to see some of them.
Yeah.
Walking around the town. Well, she goes to this plot of land, and she gets there... And yeah, she goes out, and there's no house built. It's literally just...
Well, they got, like, the layout of the...
Yeah, they had started to build it, and then, of course, probably...
They've got the foundation, I think, framed, is what I'm trying to say.
And then, of course, the blip happened, and...
No, this is after the blip. Because she came back from the blip.
Well, what we were talking about, when did he do it? It had to have happened before the blip, because...
Well, he died before the snap.
But they stopped building it, like... That's what I'm getting at, is they were obviously building it and they stopped because they weren't there anymore.
Okay, you know what?
Yeah.
That is a very cogent point. From what I gathered, a lot of that stuff with Wanda happened pretty directly after the blip.
Yes.
And yeah, so maybe Westview kind of like, because it is established in Endgame that a lot of places kind of fell apart.
Yes, and Westview is not a happy place.
So maybe that's why Westview was so crappy.
Yes. It may not have been crappy before that.
Yeah. When Vision somehow decided that this girl he didn't know was going to work out with, like, was worth buying a house.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Even though he has no actual job.
Yeah, so she's standing in the middle of this unfinished, you know, just...
It's just the foundation.
It's just the foundation of this house. And she falls to her knees, and this outpouring of grief comes out of her, and it forms the hex. Like, it blasts across...
First it forms the house.
Yeah. Yeah,
well, and then it forms the hex.
Yeah, forms the house, forms the hex, turns everything into 1950s. You see it zip through everything changes. And then you find out, because for this whole time we thought that she had brought Vision's body back to life because that's what the director told us, that's what we had seen. No, she willed Vision back in fucking existence.
She made him, my take was she made him from herself, from her own,
yes.
Literally from her power.
Yes.
Part of her power is in Vision.
Which makes me wonder, is he actually legitimately... Will he survive the end of the show?
I don't know. I have spent 8 weeks chasing squirrels and come up with crazy theories.
I know.
I am like, I'm done.
Yeah.
Kind of. Well, of course I'm not.
Yeah.
But not really.
No.
But
not at all. Especially not with the stinger at the end of this episode.
Get to the stinger, because that leads into what I think might happen with Vision.
Well, we'll get there in a minute. So she wills Vision back to existence. He says the line from the trailer that you see where he says Wanda.
Wanda, welcome home.
Yeah, welcome home. And she, when the camera flips back to her, she's 50s Wanda.
Yeah.
And they sit down on the couch, they go to watch TV, and suddenly regular Wanda's behind them watching, and you hear, you know, she kind of looks, and she looks around, and you realize that she's standing on the set. Like, the lights are above her.
Yeah.
She's standing on the set.
Well,
you hear clapping,
and she looks out. Big deal initially that first episode
was filmed before a live studio audience.
And you actually get to see the...
And you get to see the studio where they shot it at. Because Agatha's sitting in the stands,
yeah.
And she's like, bravo. She's like, now I understand what you are and what you've done. And she vanishes, and you hear her kids screaming, and she goes running out the side door, and she runs out of the house because, you know, she's still making all of these illusions, which Agatha had made a point of complimenting her somewhat. She was like, you have so much power that you are actually running illusions at the edge of town that you're not even mentally controlling. They're just happening. Like, you, this is how much power you have. So she hears the kids screaming. She runs out in the street. Agatha is now dressed in her witch costume. So you finally get the full reveal of Agatha's witch costume, which I don't think you really got to see at the beginning that much.
No, you see her boots, which yeah. does the Agatha.
Yeah. Even at the beginning of this episode, you really didn't get to see her outfit.
Well, that was like the Salem outfit. Yeah.
But so she's floating in the sky. She's got power loops.
She's got like
around the kids' throats, basically leashes. Yeah. Pulling them, and the kids are struggling, and she's like pulling at them, and Wanda comes out, and she does this whole thing, and she's like, Agatha gives the big reveal. She's like, I finally understand what you are. You are something that, how did she put it? You are something that only happens, it can only happen like once in every plane of existence. You are
no,
pure,
she never says that.
No, she says no. Something about, you are pure chaos magic.
Yeah, you are chaos magic.
Yeah, you are chaos magic. And you are the Scarlet Witch.
Yes.
So they finally, after all these years of us knowing she's the Scarlet Witch, they finally name her the Scarlet Witch.
Well, again, I never realized that was a thing. For me, that was just a name, like yeah. Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like Iron Man.
Yeah.
It's not that he's the Iron Man. Yeah,
she is the Scarlet Witch. Yes. Like, she is the most, one of the most powerful magical
beings.
Well,
she's a Nexus. I mean, that was, the commercial was for the Nexus. Which is a once-in-a-universe
yes.
ultimate power.
Yep. And then we go to credits, like it ends right there, and you're like, eh! But there is a stinger where the stinger comes out, and it's the director looking out, you know, on the outside of the hex, and somebody, you know, the lady comes up, she's like, we're ready to launch, sir.
It's the lady who gave, is it the lady who gave Monica her vehicle?
Yep.
That traitor?
Well, she's still working sword, but she's like, we're ready to launch, sir, and he's like, about goddamn time. And he walks in, and he's like, you know, we tried to rebuild this for 6 years.
We took it apart. We rebuilt it over and over again yeah. for 6 years.
For 6 years, and could never get it to power on.
Yeah.
And she's like, and he's like, all it took was a bit of the source. And it's the drone.
It's the drone.
That got sent through, that she tossed, that's got her magic on it, hooked up to the Vision body, which is now all white.
Was it all white before they turned it on?
No. Yes, it was all white before they turned it on.
Okay.
So it was all white.
Yeah, it was all white. Yep. Yeah, it was all white.
And then they turn it on, and Vision comes that the white that Vision comes back to life, and that's where it ends. That's, and you're like, oh shit.
Well, and that's fairly true to the comics.
Yes,
if you remember, I think it was in Burns' run. You know, like Vision dies. I can't remember how he dies, but they bring him back,
and he's all white.
He's all white. Well, he's got a little blue, but he's basically all white. And he's, the whole thing is that Vision's brain in the comics was based on this other guy.
Yep.
Simon Williams.
Yeah.
Who was in love with Wanda. And yes. That's why Vision is in love with Wanda.
Yes.
And Simon was always kind of pissed off that Vision, like, copied his brain. Like,
yeah.
He was never happy with that.
Yeah.
So when they bring Vision back, that part of his mind is gone.
Like, yeah.
His body's alive again, but he's like, got a new brain. It's all rebooted.
Yeah.
And they ask Simon, hey, can we copy your brain again? And he's like, no.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
So Vision, after he comes back, is very cold and robotic. He's a robot. I mean, yeah. I get it, but he's very...
He's a sensoid.
He's very, very... He's different. He's very different. He's very cold.
Yes.
So it'll be interesting to see what they do. But he's still a hero.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how they...
Well, and it's obvious he's working for the bad guys here.
We don't know anything.
Yeah, we don't know anything.
He doesn't do anything. He just wakes up.
Yeah. I get a feeling we're going to see Vision versus Vision. It's going to be a very interesting fight.
Well, as a friend asked me, how would I dub one of them? And I said, well, of course, it would be Double Vision.
Yeah, Double Vision.
So it's Vision versus Double Vision.
I get a feeling that's how we're going to end up with...
Well, I think what's going to happen is it's going to be Agatha versus Wanda.
Vision versus Vision.
Because you can't have Vision beating up on a girl.
Right.
So like it'll be the girls fighting and then the Vision's fighting.
But even though it might be Agatha versus Wanda... Is it safe to say that it's possible Agatha might join them to fight Vision because Sword is basically trying to destroy the town?
Are they?
I mean, that's what I get from it.
Like, I figured they just, like, how? With what?
I don't know. I guess we'll have to find out with next week's episode.
I mean, I think they're just going to try to destroy Wanda.
Yeah. But, yeah, it was a very good episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I think...
Which just continues the streak of this series being amazing from day one.
This series has been really, really good. It's deeper than you think.
Yes.
You know, all the stuff about grief and
yeah.
It's got a real human core to it.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to see how they end it. What I'm thinking is it's possible maybe Wanda's vision transfers into the regular body.
Yeah, the new vision.
Like a hybrid.
Yep.
But I don't know.
Which was interesting, when he tried to leave the Hex, it wouldn't let him leave.
It wouldn't let him leave, yeah.
Yeah. But then again, Wanda willed him into existence from her own...
I think he might be the one thing that can't exist away from her.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that could be.
You know, because like the Monica's outfit was her outfit, it was just changed.
Right.
Where Vision was literally created out of Wanda.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like I said, the best analogy I could use is like the stuff that Sandman had.
And also, we didn't see Monica this episode. Still...
We didn't see Monica or fake Pietro.
Yeah.
Foetro or whatever.
Yeah, Foetro.
Yeah.
Agatha hinted that...
No, she actually has a line. She says, I knew it wasn't really Pietro because he was on another continent.
Yeah.
But like, you were so desperate in your grief that you believed it.
Yes.
So it's not, he's not even like... We were all like, oh, he's from the X-Men universe.
He's
just some guy. He's just some guy that she casts as Pietro.
But God bless him for doing that.
Oh, yeah. No, it was fun.
Because it was a great monkey wrench in the whole scheme of things.
It was fun.
I'm very anxious to see next week's episode. My fingers crossed it's an hour long. I get a feeling it's going to be.
I don't know. I don't care how long it is. I just want it to be good.
Yeah. No, it's, yeah. God, this series, man.
This set a really high bar.
Which I think Falcon and Winter Soldier will not be as high of a bar. Falcon and Winter Soldier will be a completely different.
It'll be a different
experience.
It'll be more of an. I think it'll be more action adventure. It'll be more. My guess is
that little girl whooped your ass.
It'll be more like Winter Soldier, where it's like a political.
Which I am
thrill.
Fucking on for.
I'm fine with that.
Anthony Mackie and Sebastian Stan just being like, you know,
mm-hmm.
the two best friends that hate one another. It's amazing.
Well, I mean, I get that every week.
I know. I do, too. It's fucking scary. I'm like, oh, I gotta go to Dave's. Son of a bitch.
Oh, God, that asshole's coming over.
Damn it. But, yeah, no, I think it'll be completely different.
It'll be less, I think, emotionally deep.
Yes.
More of a political kind of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll be fun. They've set a very high bar.
Yeah.
And it's funny because this was the one, I think, out of all of them that I was least...
Looking forward to?
Yeah, I was least excited about. Yeah. I was interested. I was curious.
Yeah.
But I wasn't really like, ooh, I can't wait to see this.
Yeah.
And I have this... This has been really good.
Yeah.
I think this was amazing.
I mean, I sat in a parking lot in St. Louis watching it through the sound system in the Rogue. Like, that's how I watched it Friday morning, because I was like, I got to watch this before I get back into town, because I'm not going to have the energy to watch it when I get home. Yeah. So... And I was like, I had to stay on the internet until I watched the damn thing.
I know.
So it's become my go-to thing every Friday morning is to watch that episode. But yeah, it was so good. So good. And then next week we'll finish it up. And then the week after that, we get a making of that they're doing, which I'll watch because I like making of. And this show, the making of the show is very interesting to me because they went all out. I mean, they really did. Yeah. Like, you know, recreating how they would have shot a black and white show and everything. Like, so kudos to them. Oh my God, so good. There you go, guys. That's going to wrap up the show for this week. Dave and I will be back next week with an all-new show, and we'll wrap up our WandaVision talk before we jettison a couple weeks into Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
So you'll have a week of us not talking about.
Yeah, it'll probably be a pretty slow week on that one.
Yeah, probably.
That'll be a small
podcast.
That'll
be a humdinger. But gang, thank you for enjoying the show with us today. We'll see you next week, and until next time, David.
You don't have to go home, but you can stay here.
The Toy Bar Peeps, it's closed. Peace out. We'll